night in Kilnotch Batten, a lifeguard with a hangover presiding over an airless pool of disapproval and suspicion. Without any outward effort, Batten managed to dial my mood from uncomfortable to downright hostile. Which man I'd less like to meet in a dark alley, I couldn't say, nor was I sure that day wouldn't come, considering what my housemate was. For a moment, despite our acquaintance, I felt intimidated. I took a bracing sip of espresso and pictured Batten prancing out in the snow wearing nothing but a sport sock, trilling tiptoe through the tulips in tiny Tim falsetto. Better. In fact, I had to work not to smirk. Judging by the further narrowing of Batten's glare, my twitching lips nudged him off balance. Much better. Chapel leaned forward, elbows on knees, palms out. The familiarity of the gesture struck a warning bell. Chapel and his body language tricks, trying to put me at ease. If memory served, he'd use only our first names, and he'd do it consistently. I was about to be handled, with all the determination of a Hollywood dermatologist on a starlet's rash.
Marnie. Mark and I have already ruled out werewolf, Chapel said.
No bite marks? I blurted like a dummy, knee-jerk. Ugh, point Chapel.
Plenty, Batten replied. Space between's too small. No broken bones, no tearing, tidy.
I hadn't expected Batten's grim tone and economy of speech to slug my chest the way it did. He never elaborated, and he rarely softened his tone, and I must be missing that about him, or my heart wouldn't be doing a rapid two-step. I focused on Chapel, keeping my face dispassionate.
Then you're right. It's not a lycanthrope. Could be a young revenant, unbonded and solo, not running with clutch mentality, though not completely feral, or you'd find tearing.
I struggled with the stirring of temper and loins, bickering Siamese twins, linked in flesh and blood at hip level. Agent Chapel, you do understand the word retired and all that it implies?
Batten made a throaty noise.
I refused to look at him.
Childish? Me? Mark and I understand you're on a break, Marnie.
Chapel nodded like an FBI bobblehead. Behold, the world's most agreeable man. His voice warmed a degree.
You need some time.
Only a few decades or so. Goldrake and Cross represents 25 other federally licensed psychics you can consult, I reminded him. All of them outrank me in talent, goodwill, and general friendliness.
Now, you know the first part's not possible. Chapel said kindly.
I didn't miss the implication, and smiled for the first time. An attempt to disagree with the last two would have been blatantly ridiculous, and would have ended this conversation, and he knew it.
There are more powerful psychics, Batten hedged. But how many have a doctorate in preternatural biology, and more than a passing understanding of the dark arts?
As far as I knew, I was the only one, but admitting that wasn't going to make them go away. I played with my cup and shrugged at Chapel, expression neutral.
You'd have to ask my old boss at GD&C.
And how many have a media nickname?
Batten drew a rolled-up newspaper from behind his back, where it must have been crammed in his pocket. For a second, I thought he was going to swat me on the nose like a misbehaving puppy. He waved it in my face, then dropped it on the desk.
Must be famous for a reason.
I felt my face go carefully blank. As far as I knew, I didn't have a nickname. Certainly I didn't want one.
I could only imagine.
If you hit a wall, there's some hardcore unlicensed talent in Denver.
Freaks and lunatics, Batten translated.
I sucked wind through my teeth. It was getting harder to ignore him. Was that sweat on my upper lip? It had to be 1,000 degrees in my office. Chapel must have noticed my discomfort.